areas are surging ahead of the rest of the nation. Not only are they becoming much richer than the provinces, socially they're becoming detached and no longer representative of the nation of which they are often the capital. But even within the dynamic metropolis, these extraordinary economic gains are heavily skewed. The newly successful are neither capitalists nor ordinary workers. They are the well-educated with new skills. They have forged themselves into a new class, meeting at university and developing a new shared identity in which esteem comes from skill. They've even developed a distinctive morality, elevating characteristics such as minority ethnicity and sexual orientation into group identities as victims. On the basis of their distinctive concern for victim groups, they claim moral superiority over the less well-educated. Having forged themselves into a new ruling class, the well-educated trust both government and each other more than ever. While the fortunes of the educated have soared, pulling up national averages with them, the less well-educated, both in the metropolis and nationally, are now in crisis, stigmatized as the white working class. The syndrome of decline began with the loss of meaningful jobs. Globalization has shifted many semi-skilled jobs to Asia, and technological change is eliminating many others. The loss of jobs has hit two age groups particularly hard: older workers and those trying to find their first job. Among older workers, job loss often led to family breakdown, drugs, alcohol, and violence. In America, the resulting collapse in the sense of a purposeful life is manifested in falling life expectancy for whites who have not been to college. This at a time when the unprecedented pace of medical advances is delivering rapidly rising life expectancy for more favored groups. In Europe, social safety nets have muted the extremity of outcomes, but the syndrome is also widespread, and in the most broken cities, such as Blackpool, life expectancy is also falling. Redundant over-50s are drinking the dregs of despair. Yet the less educated young have fared little better. In much of Europe, young people face mass unemployment. Currently, a third of young Italians are unemployed, a scale of job shortage last seen in the Depression of the 1930s. Surveys show an unprecedented level of youthful pessimism. Most young people expect to have lower living standards than their parents. Nor is this a delusion. During the past four decades, the economic performance of capitalism has deteriorated. The global financial crisis of 2008-09 made it manifest, but from the 1980s, this pessimism has been slowly growing. Capitalism's core credential of steadily rising living standards for all has been tarnished. It has continued to deliver for some, but has passed others by. In America, the emblematic heart of capitalism, half of the 1980s generation are absolutely worse off than the generation of their parents at the same age. For them, capitalism is not working. Given the huge advances in technology and public policy that have taken place since 1980, this failure is astounding. These advances, themselves dependent on capitalism, make it entirely feasible for everyone to have become substantially better off. Yet a majority now expect their children's lives to be worse than their own. Among the American white working class, this pessimism rises to an astonishing 76%. And Europeans are even more pessimistic than Americans. The resentment of the less educated is tinged with fear. They recognize that the well-educated are distancing themselves, socially and culturally, and they conclude that both this distancing and the emergence of more favored groups, perceived as creaming off benefits, weaken their own claim to help. The erosion of their confidence in the future of their social safety net is happening just as their need for it has increased. Anxiety, anger, and despair have shredded people's political allegiances, their trust in government, and even their trust in each other. The less educated were at the